You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. It is a beautiful, wonderful day of life. In life, there is always hope. There is always love. Every day is an act of love. Every single day. It's a gift to you, and no day will be like the day before it. Today, though, we're going to talk about some painful things, but also aligning it with this Holy Week coming up the best that we can. Want to talk about divorce. Want to talk about the trials and the tears and the triumphs that come through going through divorce. Sometimes we don't think about it. We think about it so separately because it's something that's happened to us, something that we have either initiated ourselves or has been initiated upon us. But I doubt there are too many out there who enter into their marriage, whether it's civil or whether it's within the church, but especially in the church. You enter into your marriage thinking, I'm going to get divorced. Thinking that divorce is an option, that's number one. They ask that in annulment about divorce being an option. But also, you don't ever plan on getting divorced. You know, usually it's a happy, joyous day. And I was reminded of that yesterday as I went to Palm Sunday, and it was a lovely Palm Sunday that happened with me this weekend. I missed the early masses at my usual parish, and so I was looking around to see what we have around, and what I found out was we had something close to the ocean. 5 o'clock in the evening, Mary, Star of the Sea. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So I go to Oceanside, quite a long drive, bring my dog so I can take a walk. It's cold down there, cooler down there. So I thought, you know, I'll take a walk with my dog, see how he does, because he's a little bit iffy. Take a walk with my dog, and then I'll go to Palm Sunday. I'll go to Mass at this church, old church, about not quite 100 years old, but pretty old, and the parish is very old. So I go down to this beautiful place, get out my dog, walk around with all the people, all the babies, all the kids, all the other dogs, and I sit down right near where Jesus is stumbling on the stations on the wall, where he's stumbling with his cross, and I look at it, don't think too much about it, and I start in with the Mass, and it was one of the most beautiful Masses. I've been to some very beautiful Masses, very beautiful, very ancient, lots of Latin Masses, lots of non-Latin Masses, giant choirs, no choir. But this was so sweet and so beautiful. Just one guy playing the guitar and singing with a beautiful voice, and one woman playing piano and singing with a beautiful voice. Just very, very touching. And a very extremely elderly priest. And the elderly priest, this is all going to give you the setting here. The elderly priest was literally at a 90-degree angle with the ground. He had a curvature of his spine. And you've seen this with some of the elderly people, where they actually, right around their shoulders, they bend to where they're, if they were to really, it's an effort to look straight ahead or an effort to look up. The natural thing would be to look straight down at the ground. They literally are bent to a 90 degrees. This priest was so inspiring because he was up there with all his infirmity, because it is an infirmity. I've seen many people like this. I've treated people like this. I've actually watched them. There's a husband and wife, actually, I see occasionally walking around with their walkers. They both have that exact, there's a medical term for it, but basically it's the curvature of the spine that causes them, or whether they've had many fractures, whatever happens, and they literally are at 90 degree angles. You've seen it. So he's up there, and he did, and I want us all to take a moment, because he did, when he talked about offering the Mass and who he was offering it for, he said, and I hadn't even heard of it yet. I hadn't listened to the news. And he said, I want to also offer this Mass for the then, as of yesterday, the 45 people or 44 people who were killed in Egypt by going to Palm Sunday services, Christians, Coptics. And so, I want us all to remember that too, because as he said that, and I realized, you know, here I am in this tiny little church, and at any moment something like that could happen. It's the last thing on my mind. Last thing on my mind. I was just sitting in this peaceful little environment, and sometimes the homeless will come in and sit for some place to sit during a Mass, but it's very beautiful. So as I'm looking and I look over and I see Jesus stumbling, and for some reason, as we were going on, I started thinking about divorce, and I started thinking about the humiliation that happens when you discover, when one discovers, when you discover, or when you yourself, let's say, have committed betrayal. And the humiliation you feel, and the sadness you feel, and the shock you feel. And I know any of you out there who are divorced, I know that you feel this way. There's a moment where, no, it's not happening. And then there's a moment where you can't believe it. And then there's lots of moments where you just keep functioning as if it, with the person that you always thought you were with. It is a death. It's like a slow death. It's like it's like an illness that causes a death. Somehow you've known something. Many people report this, that you know something. You know, you've been feeling it. You don't know exactly what it is, but you feel it. And you can't put your finger on it. And usually right about that time is the time that you start getting more agitation. Little things start coming up. Little irritations come up. You start fighting more. It's kind of an unconscious, subconscious way of getting more distance. If you're the betrayer, or you're the person who wants out of the marriage for whatever reason, you start finding things that will give you support for that feeling. Very common phenomena. Happens to all kinds of people. Doesn't matter the gender of who wants out of the marriage. But there has to be a villainization, a demonizing almost, of the other party because of your own feelings of sadness and guilt. But before that happens, there's that intuitive feeling, and you know something's wrong, but you can't, there's nothing, there's no evidence in front of you. And I've seen it over and over and over and over, way before I ever was in a position to deal with lots of people who have gone through divorce or have went through divorce myself. I've saw it many, many, many times. So I looked at that, and all of a sudden I started thinking about the wedding day, and especially getting married in the church, where you're asking God to come in and be with you in your threefold cord. And you're asking God to be there with you. And it's very special, because you go down and you do all the civil stuff that you're supposed to do. And you could very easily just have a civil wedding, or many people have had civil weddings and then get remarried in the church. And it broadens, it infuses this with a supernatural power that you feel will help you throughout all life. And I thought about that on Palm Sunday, as I thought about Jesus going into his, what will be his passion and death and resurrection, but that he was adulated, just like people are, though they're celebrated. Flowers and gifts. Well, we had palms, flowers and gifts. And you are elevated. The bride and the groom are elevated like diamonds. You're elevated. Everyone is around you. Everyone is hopeful for you. Everyone is honoring you. You, the couple, bridesmaids and maids of honor and best men and the groom party and the just the priest and the flowers, the symbols of life. And if it's a second marriage or your third marriage and you have children and the hope and saying, look, this can help. This can happen. This can happen and it can be good. You will be okay. All your hopes and all your dreams and all of your future. This will be my future with this person. And we will bring up this family. If your family is a family of blended family with two parties having your children and having no children together, whether it is adopted children, whether it's no children, maybe you're older. Maybe all your kids are grown. But your hope is there. And then you make your journey for better or for worse. I'm going to come back to that on the other side of the break. And we're going to follow and align ourselves with the cross as we go through the thoughts of trials, tribulations, and ultimate triumphs of divorce. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. Grab your coffee, find something to be grateful for. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Well, welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. We're walking down this road. We're looking at divorce, the trials, the tears, the triumphs that come on the other side of divorce. Divorce usually is always painful. You're never going to rid yourself of the pain of divorce, and people face it in different ways. I've known people who have been very pragmatic. I know one woman who was very pragmatic about it, but the pain was very deep, but she was very pragmatic and it was very systematic. Other people are down on the floor wailing. And the worst thing you can ever do to anyone is make a decision for them or imply that they're not taking something well or they should be getting over it or it's just divorce. In my own divorce, I heard that many times. Well, of course the other person's going to be mean or lie or whatever because that's just divorce. We accept these things. Of course you're enemies, because that's divorce. And for women, it's different. You don't have an enemy. You can't believe you're an enemy. How can you be an enemy? You loved the person. You said, till death do us part. How can you be an enemy? But you end up being an enemy, and especially over the children too. It's a very difficult thing. In my own divorce, I didn't have children with my ex, and all our children were grown. So, it's one of those things that I didn't have to face that part of it. And those of you who face that part of it, that is the most gut-wrenching, heart-stealing thing you can do is feeling that feeling that somehow those children, that your motherliness toward that child is being twisted and manipulated or ripped from you. It's a very difficult thing. Or if each of you might use the children, that's also a difficult thing. So that's another subject. But let's get back to the idea of the wedding. Now, the Catholics say a lot about getting married in the church, and we'll talk about that next segment. But when you plan the wedding, imagine, remember, whether you have planned a wedding, whether you got married real quickly, whether you went to pre-cana, no matter what age you were, when you were married, it was a special moment. It was a celebration, like Jesus with the palms. It was a celebration. And if you were married in the church, God came into that. You asked God to come into that. God was with you. God is with you. God continues with you. And in Matthew, I have to check to see where that is. I think it was in Matthew where in the gospel discussing that marriage is forever, that it doesn't go away. So it's Matthew 19, 1 through 10, that marriage is a lifelong bond. On the website of the UCCSB, the conference, Catholic Conference of Bishops for the U.S., and they talk a lot about that. You can log on, you can see what an annulment is, you can see what marriage is all about. You can also have, there's also another website, which I'll give you, about Catholics, divorcing Catholics, specifically devoted to that, because so many questions come up all the time. So we have kind of a double hurt, because one is the solemnity, and we don't all think about this, especially being very young. If you're Catholic and you get married in the Catholic Church, because that's what you do, and you know, you're young. At some point in your life, you realize the solemnity of it. And so not only does that hurt, breaking that bond, so does breaking the civil bond and breaking the actual physical bond of the family, breaking it apart. And the longer that you are divorced, the more you start realizing that it lives on forever. So those of you that are contemplating it right now, aside, we'll talk about this another time, abuse, mental abuse, emotional abuse, physical abuse. This is something that is, I'm not talking about any of those. That puts it in a category all of its own. No one should suffer abuse. God does not want you to suffer abuse. You aren't doing yourself any good. You're not doing your spouse any good. If you continue to perpetuate behind closed doors abuse, because you cannot be who God wants you to be. And you certainly, your children are usurping and somehow ingesting the culture of abuse. Even if you think you are keeping them from the abuse, you are not keeping them from the abuse. They hear it, they watch it, they see the effects of it. It's like a planet out there that you can't really see, but you know by what's happening around it. So if dad is abusive to mom, or dad is an alcoholic and abusive to mom, or has rages and explosions, or is mentally abusive, physically abusive, mom starts to change over time. So that's a whole different story, whole different ballgame. So we're not really talking about that. But basically, we're talking about for any reason that someone may end up being divorced. So when you start off, your desires are happiness. You might have a gut feeling that maybe this isn't so great, but whatever happens, you get married. The celebration is there. Everybody's happy. You're honored. I think about that. I thought about that on Palm Sunday. And how quickly this can turn. Now, For Jesus, of course, it turned very quickly. For most of you, it doesn't turn that quickly. There's always somebody in that bond between the two of you and the three of you with God in the middle that's in the dark. And it takes time, and the erosion keeps going underneath the current, underneath the surface. The erosion keeps happening. Think about it for yourself. Was there a time somewhere where the erosion, you just kind of knew, but you didn't know? Or you ventured into, talking to someone the other day, a gentleman who started venturing into pornography, just a little. No problem. Nobody thinks there's a problem with pornography. Nobody has a problem these days with pornography. Just go down to the basement, his little man cave, and logged on here or there. Then he started to make a little ritual out of it, and God is some little things. There's usually a certain time of day when nobody was around, and then it spread more and more and more, more time, more time, more time. Then all of a sudden, more thoughts about, it wasn't even thoughts about other women exactly on the outside. It was more of a empowerment of, you know, hey, I'm pretty, how that happened, this particular person. It was very interesting to talk about this with him, because little by little, his guilt and his feeling kind of slimy gave way to feeling very empowered, like it was his moment. It was time, his relaxation time, his thing. And there was no problem with it. And he deserved to have it quiet and secret. And then it kind of just grew to a situation where he was getting less and less interested in his wife. He was getting less and less, their communication was getting less and less. What he could not see was that his communication was being, he was drifting away, like someone had just cut a little rowboat and he was drifting away. But he didn't understand it. So he started becoming more empowered and more self-righteous and more kind of just obnoxious, actually, as we talked about it more. And he was admitting all these things to me, telling me of his journey. And finally, he is divorced. But what happened to him? And how regretful he is, and what has happened. And he's now back into the church. But these things happen to all of us. Some things big, some things little. But they do happen. So if you are someone who is going through divorce, contemplating divorce, or doing something that may end up in divorce, now is your time to think about it. This Holy Week would be an awesome time to think about it. Mainly, we're going to be addressing today the trials, the tears, the triumphs of you who have been through divorce, but, or going through it, because there is life on the other side. There really is. However, this is an awesome time to really sit back and ask God to give you a moment pause to think about all that you're giving up, all that's going to happen. Is there really no chance? But it does take two. We'll talk about that on the other side of the break. I also want you to remember your own vows. Remember what you felt. Remember what you thought. And I know that might be very painful to do. Remember your wedding. Remember your honor. Remember your maid of honor. Remember all the things that were going on at the time. We'll discuss and pick up on that point on the other side of the break. Well, I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're listening to Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4. You're welcome to call, weigh in. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you are with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, starting off a Monday morning on this little rocky road just a bit. However, looking at trials and tears and eventual triumphs that happen through divorce. Starting right off saying that nobody wants a divorce when they get married. Just doesn't happen. It is a very painful thing. Sometimes things just don't work. And they don't work for a number of reasons. Sometimes it's maturity. Sometimes it's two teenager, pregnancy, early pregnancy. Sometimes it's something the parents tell them to do. Sometimes addictions come up. Infidelity. Abuse. This happens. So we have to know that when the church looks at it, the church looks at it as well. Sometimes we think, well, why do we even need like an annulment, or why? Well, how do we deal with this fact that marriage is a lifelong bond, especially when you invite God into the mix. It's a lifelong bond, and yet you're breaking that lifelong bond because you say for better or for worse. And this is worse, but there's always going to be that one person that says, we can't do this. And again, there are reasons you cannot stay with your husband. Abuse, addiction, mental abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, addictions, tenacious addictions, different than someone who sincerely comes and says, I have this addiction. I want to break it. Will you help me? So we have a very confusing culture that we live in. And divorce, as I said in the earlier part of this program, divorce oftentimes is looked at as just one something that people do. What's the big deal? Shouldn't be so emotional over it. You should certainly expect that they're going to be enemies. And it's so painful because you loved the person. How can you be an enemy to someone you love? It's a very painful. And it does seem to hit women a little differently than it hits men, although I've worked with both. So there are men who are so wounded and beside themselves with pain, just like with the women, that it's really, I mean, it's gut-wrenching. It really is. It's gut-wrenching. But we know we have to walk through it. But it is not uncommon, and it's not weird, even if you are remarried, to feel like you're still married to that person, because you made a threefold cord with God, and you became one. In one way or another, whether you had kids or didn't have kids, you became one. And so your DNA is mixed with their DNA, and your breathing, your everything got synchronized. I mean, just down to the cellular level, all the way to how you greet the morning, having that cup of coffee, that particular person, what they might say, how they got irritating, what kind of fight you might have. It became part of your growing up. If you're married for any length of time, think about the time between the time you were born and the time you were 15. Let's say you're married 15 years. Well, you really changed a lot, but that was your life. That developed you. What if you're married 30 years, 40 years? What happens then? We don't give homage enough to how deep marriage is, how deep that relationship is. You live your life. You grow around. Imagine a tree in 30 years that you planted. Imagine everything that goes on day in and day out is your life. So if you were married half your life, or you were married a third of your life, that's a big time, significant time. It's kind of like two pieces of Velcro when you put them, pull them apart. And we get very confused because then people go on and get remarried. And then what? Then your devotion is to someone else. and your life is with someone else, but there's still a part of you that is still married to that other person. How can you not be married to them? Really? You're not unmarried to your past. Do you like your glory days? Do you remember some times in grade school or high school or around those age groups where you had the best time in your life? So much fun. Great things happened, or maybe you were a great pianist and you had a beautiful, you just worked and worked and worked and you had this beautiful concert. And it's a great memory. Well, when you get divorced, you kind of have to, what do we do with all those things? So it's a very difficult thing. These are the trials and the tears. Someone once said, very, very astute person, said that the ultimate form, the ultimate form of pain is the deception of love. The deception of love. And that's an interesting statement. The deception of love. Because as you count on love, and a lot of people will look back and they find themselves, all the sacrifices that you make, it hurts. You feel humiliated. That's, again, we're looking at Jesus going through this, when we go through the stations of the cross, the fact that you can go from this being the one and only to abuse, to sadness, to betrayal, to deception. And even if the deception is just that, wow, we were way too young. We don't even know each other. We have no way to even deal with each other. Some of the teenage marriages because of pregnancy, things like that. Those very things still feel like a deception of love. Well, if we get married, it'll all be better. How many of you out there have said that? When we get married, it will be better. This is the right thing to do. Now, many people have an early pregnancy, don't know what love is. They're teenagers. Many of you were teenagers, but it worked out good. It was great. It was great. So remember that those very things that you counted on, the very things that you love, and the people you loved, and the person you loved, and then if you had children, that when it breaks, that becomes that deception of love, and that is so incredibly painful. And we always don't know what to do with it. But like anything else in life, we can triumph. And we can do, when Jesus stumbled, what did he do? He got back up, but sometimes he needed help. He would not have been able to get up. And sometimes, again, the centurion pulls a stranger. You, help him. Sometimes you need that. And those people are all around you. Many people during divorce, they lose their friends. They lose family members. They lose their in-laws. They lose their stepchildren. They lose a lot of things. They lose their finances. They lose their house. They lose all kinds of things. This is like being stripped of everything. Everything, imagine the Velcro pieces again, the emotional Velcro of your heart. It's getting ripped little by little. You can hear it ripping apart because it was so intertwined. This is what happens in divorce. This is the betrayal and the deception and the kind of the stumbling blocks, the times where you just don't think you're going to be able to get over it. Your eyes cannot cry anymore. Other times it's anger. All kinds of things come out. But we all know that there's no good, painless divorce. It just doesn't happen. And no matter how you, if you are experiencing something very different, let's say you're very pragmatic about it and you just are like, okay, I'm just going to tick this off. That was their decision. This is what I'm going to do. That's done. Da, da, da. And it's all signed, sealed, and delivered in your heart and in your mind. You're not weird. It doesn't mean that you were any less committed than someone who has so much emotional pain, because people feel things and perceive things very differently. So if you have a friend who doesn't seem to be as emotional as you were, don't judge them and don't try to make them feel something they don't. If, on the other hand, you're extremely emotional, or the person that your friend is extremely emotional, unless they're doing something that needs medical attention, psychiatric attention, or legal attention, be there for them. Be there for them. Listen to their same story over and over and over. As a friend of mine said, when she got divorced, and she's a very pragmatic person, but she said, you know, for about 2 years, I just couldn't stop talking about it. Just couldn't do. I was at every party and everyone was getting so bored with it. I lost a lot of friends. It does happen too. But as we go along this journey, and if you can align yourself during this Holy Week and maybe think about your life and either consecrate it if you are married to the ups and downs as you go along the stations of the cross, or if you are going through a divorce, align yourself with the stations. And if you are divorced, and even if you are moved on and you're remarried, that you walk through that again with the stations, with God by your side. I'm your host, Dr. Michelle. See you on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and we are walking this road together, and it's kind of an odd Monday morning. It's beautiful where I am. I don't know about where you are, but it's sunny and gorgeous, and there's no gloominess, and you know, I'm touching on a really tough subject, so it's really difficult to go. A lot of people are flooding into my mind and my consciousness as I've dealt with them over the years, friends, family, myself, patients, clients, psychiatric or otherwise, the shock of divorce. I've known someone who was wrongfully diagnosed as having dementia in their 50s. And really, they were sufferers of post-traumatic stress disorder because of some traumas that happened in their life. And when their spouse left them suddenly, abruptly, and it just, they were so in shock that they were really having a really difficult time. And that was about 20 years ago, I think, and I've still kept in contact with this person. And I would say, I don't think you have it. I really don't. I think this is something else here. But they were diagnosed with dementia and even treated that way for a while. And actually, no, they must have been in their 40s if I've known them 20 years. So they were in their 40s, which was a very odd diagnosis anyway at that time, not arguing with what happened, but just saying that it wasn't a correct one. And but now they're very functional. They're doing amazing things in their life. They've developed a two businesses and just having a wonderful life. Divorce is always still a painful subject for them, but they are really doing well. So you can have all kinds of symptoms, outward symptoms, simply because of the shock of the betrayal of a divorce. It's very, very painful. So we look at this and you think, well, how can I ever triumph? How can this pain ever go away? And especially, what the heck do I do since we're not supposed to ever divorce? And again, all of you out there who are feeling that little, because most abused people, and especially abused women, I know what you do. you tend to think everything is your fault, first of all. You tend, because you've been trained that way, whether you came from a house of abuse pre-marriage, whether you were abused as a child, no matter what kind of abuse, you may not have been around vocal abuse, you may not have been around physical abuse, but if you were around anything that, whether it was a parent that was addicted, alcoholism, unavailable, oftentimes you will fall prey to the feeling like somehow you have this huge responsibility and that it must be somehow your fault and it's your job to stay and take it and find the way that they're going to change. A person who is abusive or who has addictions, no one can make them stop. Nobody can make them stop. They have to do the hard work. Now, you can find the way that you enable them. You can find the way that you are blind to it. You can find the way that you can help or not help together with expert guidance. Because most of the times you can't do that on your own. It's a very difficult thing. So again, I'm not talking about that. No one wants you or needs you to stay in an abusive situation. And there are a lot of people, and we have a lot of saints out there who did stay in their marital abuse. But remember, that was some of our saints that were in those situations, that was, what was their alternative? They had no alternative. We're talking about the Middle Ages. We're talking about the year 300. We're talking about the Dark Ages. They would have to go to prostitution. They would have to go into, or they might be stoned, or they might have to, they may be locked away somewhere, locked away in a convent, or that was their only possible alternative at certain times in the history of the earth. So remember, we're not talking about where we are now. The church has changed as they got to know more, understand more, and as humanity developed, of which the Catholic Church had a lot to do with that, with education and that kind of thing. But there were those days of darkness, ignorance, craziness. We didn't know. They did what they had to do at the time. So we can't compare ourselves to someone in the year 300. We can't compare ourselves to someone in the year 1300. Because it's a very different situation. Most of you out there, if you have a situation of abuse and you have to get out of it, your only alternative is not necessarily going to be prostitution. It is going to be starvation, begging. Sometimes you have to go to a shelter. Sometimes you have to leave everything, but there's support out there from all different kinds of resources where you won't go hungry, where you will get help. Well, they will tell you how to get away from that. And there are Catholic people right now who have just had their final straw, their final straw. They just can't do it anymore. The abuse is too much, too ongoing for too many years. And they are looking at ways to be able to get out. So remember this. Abuse is a different situation. Okay, so let's get back to the trials and tribulations and the triumphs. So we're not going to get to a lot of this in the last segment, but here, if you align yourself, and this is what I would like you to do for this Holy Week, align yourselves with the station and always remember that you start off happy, you start off hopeful, you start off in love, you start off about love, and you start off thinking that you will fight the fights all throughout your life, and you will have that rocking chair on the porch with your grandkids all around you, or you'll be off on your cruise, or you'll be traveling Europe together. It's something. Sitting home doing puzzles, volunteering, a couple I saw the other day, an elderly couple, doing the food together, and just all these wonderful things, and you hope that for yourself, and then you find that's not your life. You go through the humiliations, you go through the pain, you go through the shock, you go through the trauma, you feel everything is turned against you because your life turned against you, your hopes turned against you, everything just is just not what you'd hoped it would be. And you've got children to deal with and the pain that they're going through. And that doesn't stop, it changes as you get older and people remarry and they have new families, and it just starts to get very, very complicated. So you can imagine that. So there are times you stumble, there's times you fall, there's times you make mistakes, there's times you're not proud of yourself, there's times that you're, you know, like St. Francis or whoever it was, that you throw yourself against the door saying, no, let me in, don't do this. There's all kinds of things that go on. But as you go further, and then there's a time where you finally, it's finally happening, and it's pain, and it's horrible, and it's ripping your guts out, especially if it's tough with kids. And you don't think it's ever going to change. And all your trust is gone. All your trust is broken. Your self-esteem is gone. And your friends tell you, well, I just got a, you know, boob job or whatever they get. Or, you know, they go out and get all buff, or they go work out if you're a guy, and all this stuff happens. But then there's a point where you got to go home with yourself. And you align yourself with that pain. You put your sorrows there right now, this week. You put your sorrows there, no matter what they were. You put them there. And then you realize that no matter what anyone thinks, no matter if they think that you're overreacting, underreacting, we're wrong, we're right, no matter what, and all the trials you're going to be facing from here on out, as a divorced person, because they're still going to hit you, even if you have to do it, still going to hurt. If you take your vow seriously, it still will always hurt. And a part of you will always still be married to them. Understand that, whether you have kids or not. And that's okay. But also realize, have faith in the resurrection. Have faith in the renewal. Have faith in God's promise that you will resurrect, that your life will resurrect, your heart will resurrect. You will see things in a new light. Sometimes people come back together after 20 years, 30 years. Sometimes they never come back together. They're not supposed to come back together. Further along, you'll learn all about it, as the old song goes. Farther along, you'll learn all about it. You'll understand why. You'll understand how it happened. But right now, what you can know is put your hope in that it will all work out. Your children will be okay with your good heart, your determination, and your belief that you will rise. You will be the phoenix that rises from the ashes. Your heart will be a phoenix that rises from the ashes. You will resurrect. That stone will roll away. Because God is not going to abandon you. God did not abandon you. He will not abandon you. It just hurts and feels like it sometimes. How could this happen? Even thinking about how could you forsake me? How could I be so into something and then have it hurt so bad afterward? So no matter where you are in life, where you are in this situation, where you are in your marriage right now, no matter what you're contemplating, you've had troubles for 10 years and you're thinking about that person at work, or you're thinking about that person you just ran into and they really are kind of like looking at you, think about, align yourself. Just go and align yourself. Withdraw for a moment. Align yourself. Can I follow in your footsteps? Can I walk with you on your journey? And then rise again from the ashes, even though I would do anything to get out of this right now. So this is your host, Dr. Michelle. Think about this. Pray about it. Look out your window. Find something today to be grateful for. No matter what, we will talk to you tomorrow. 573-4BREAD-4, DM live at breadboxmedia.com.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.